We give all into the presence of the Lord. We are grateful for the Lord's presence and those who are in the sanctuary and those who are joining us online as we gather to hear together with us, saith the Lord of this morning. Verses 10 through 28. Y'all have to stand back up. It's all right. Amen. It's a lengthy read, so I'm going to read again on this one. Now the word, I'm going to wait till y'all sit down. Amen. Tipping out like Mr. Brown. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around past by and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. He said to him, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until the day they are consumed. Why? Then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord God, your God, in Gilgal. Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. And we like to always stop there, but the Lord told me to keep going on this morning. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you for being king. Father God, in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus, I stand behind this sacred desk on this morning, Lord God, asking you to have your way. Lord, your presence is already here. So, Father, I say continue, Lord God, to move throughout this sanctuary, move in the hearts and minds of your people, move in the homes of those that are tapped in online, whether now or watching the replay. God, I pray that your word will break down every barrier that's currently causing us to be disobedient in your sight. God, I pray that this word will begin to pull down every stronghold and construct, Lord God, that we have created because we desire to do our own thing and not yours. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that this word will not return to you void, and it will accomplish what you set for it to do. God, I pray that your people hear all of you and none of me. God, decrease to marry in the name of Jesus, and let your Holy Spirit reign, rule, and abide in this moment, so that the very thing that you sent me to do on this morning is accomplished in your name, for your glory, for the edification, for our sanctification, for the furthering of the kingdom. God, I pray that you stay the hand of the enemy that will try to distract, destroy, and discombobulate the minds and hearts of your people to keep them from receiving this word. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, you make everybody's technology work perfectly so that the word, although it may be uncomfortable, they can receive receive it. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for you have called us for such a time as this to rise up and be the remnant that walks in truth and not reality, to accomplish what you sent for us to do. God, anoint me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet to declare war against the enemy and to pull your people out of their state stagnation, Lord God, so they can do what you called them to do. God, in the name of Jesus, have your way in this place, Lord God, and accept this act of worship from my heart to yours. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Woo! This morning we're going to talk about the dangers and downfall of disobedience. There's a story that a mother told once about her little boy, her son, Michael. Michael was 4 years old the night she found him sobbing uncontrollably in the hallway. Concerned, she knelt next to him and drew him close. "What's the matter, sweetheart? Are you hurt?" He shook his head and turned to her, but she was unprepared for his response. "Daddy said a bad word to me," he sobbed. She almost laughed out loud because she knew her husband of 12 years had rarely heard him raise his voice. But Michael had heard him say something, and she was curious enough to want to know what it was. She said to him, "Honey, what bad word did Daddy say?" And seeing a chance for sympathy, her sensitive 4-year-old stopped crying and blurted out, "Obey." How many of us can admit that there are times we are just like Michael? When we hear the word obey, we secretly consider it a bad word.
Whoa.
Because it's something we do not want to surrender to God and do. It is something that we feel may be beyond our capacity. Do you ever get the feeling like some of the things God tells us to do aren't that big of a deal? Maybe the instruction is only mentioned once or twice. Maybe it seems to be an odd instruction. Maybe no one else around you actually practices this instruction. It's not that you don't obey the Lord, but this instruction doesn't seem quite right, so you cast it away. Let me help you, my brothers and sisters, on this morning. There are dangers to disobeying God's instructions, no matter how big, how small, how uncomfortable, who believes it, who walks in alignment with you, how you feel about it. There are dangers to not doing and following the specific instructions God has released in your life. Here we are with Saul, who is king, who was set up because the children of Israel were at a place where they were whoring after what the other people of the nations had. They were the only nation that did not have a physical king. So they were envious over the fact that these other nations had a physical king that they can look towards, instead of understanding they had the King of Kings who was leading, guiding, protecting, and delivering them through everything that they had experienced. They had the audacity to say, "Well, we know he is God and we know he is Lord, but we need somebody we can see. We need somebody we can touch. We need somebody we can hear that. We don't have to wait for the prophet to come and say, 'Well, thus saith the Lord.' We want an earthly voice." So God said, "Since y'all don't appreciate what you got in me, I'm going to give you exactly what you want." So here, they got Saul. They got Saul, who was king, and he was leading, and he had some victories. God had allowed him. Watch, because there was a point where Saul confessed the Lord as his Lord, but the more God gave him the victory, the more he took on the glory for himself. We're going to get to that in a moment. And as you walk through the first couple of chapters of 1 Samuel, you will see some of the working. Well, 13 through 14, you'll see the victory God gave Saul in the world. Now, Saul had a particular instruction from Samuel. It was two instructions. First, he said, God said, "Utterly destroy everything of the Amalekites. When I give you victory, don't say nothing, don't touch nothing other than to kill it, don't bring nothing back. Utterly the sacrifice that only the priest or the prophet is authorized to do. Wait here and don't move and do nothing you are not authorized to. But Saul got beside himself and he was like, look, Samuel taking too long. I know he said, you know, wait here 7 days, but the people are getting restless and they want to see the sacrifice first. And since I don't know when Samuel is coming and I don't know when he's going to show up, let me go ahead and do his job too. So can I throw this out here parenthetically? Sometimes you get yourself tripped up because you're doing a job God never told you to do because you don't got the patience to wait on God to do what he said he was going to do. You don't believe me? Come here, Sarah and Hagar. Hey, Sarah did not have enough patience to wait for God to show up and give her the blessing of the child he had covenanted with her and Abram, so she called Hagar into the situation, much like Saul, pulling people into your mess, causing you to be disobedient to God. So Sarah said, Hagar, look, go lay with Abram, because I know God said we're going to have a child, but I'm too old to do this now, so you're going to be my surrogate. And can I tell you, when you employ people to be your surrogate, it's something that God called you to do. You want to face all kind of hell and condemnation in your life.
You
but,
don't need a surrogate,
Saul was supposed to weep in Gilgal. Saul was supposed to kill and wait. Kill everything, then wait. But what did Saul do? He killed some things and pressed forward. I don't know who this is for, but somebody was frustrated out of their ever-loving mind right now because you didn't kill everything. You killed some things in your flesh, but there's some things you still operating in. And God said, no, I told you to crucify that too. And not only did you not crucify what he told you to crucify, you pressed forward on some things that weren't ordained in this season. Not that it wasn't ordained at all, but it wasn't for you to do, it wasn't for you to complete, and it wasn't for now. But because you got impatient in your flesh, you allowed your flesh to pull you out of the divine will of God. But God has grace for you on today. So we find that he didn't kill everything and he didn't wait. And because of that, God rejected him. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments, and he grieved Samuel. And he cried to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed, he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul and said, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleeding of this sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? And I don't know how many points I have, so I'm just going to give you this one, and y'all count them as we go. Don't try to fulfill God's assignment with your own agenda. Don't try to fulfill God's assignment with your own agenda or in your own way. Be careful that as God uses you and chooses you, that you don't get beside yourself. Saul got besides himself. Instead of waiting for the prophet Samuel to come back and perform the sacrifices to the Lord, he had the audacity to get out of position and go to a place he was not ordained to set up a monument for himself. Some of us are like So God gives us some accolades, or people give us some applause, or we get some victories, or God allows us to perform miracle signs and wonders in the lives of others, and all of a sudden now you all over Facebook or Instagram as this bishop, that apostle, this prophet, building platforms for yourself, building an audience for yourself. And all God told you to do, I never told you to do all of that. I told you to just sit, to stand and rightly declare my word. I gave you one instruction. You took it upon yourself to expand that instruction, to do it how you design, not even realizing that you are out of order and out of alignment with me, but because the people were restless, because the people wanted a word, because the people are prophetically hungry, because the people are junkies for things that incites their flesh but don't make them grow. You decided to go and do and release some things that God didn't tell you to do. Saul made a mistake of building a monument so that when the people saw the monument, that they will remember what he did instead of remembering what God did. Can I help somebody on this Sunday morning? What God allows you to do is never about you, but it's all about what he designed to do. And he just so simply chose to use you to accomplish his will on the earth. Don't get beside yourself building things that God never gave you authority or permission to build. Because what will happen, the more you build for yourself, the more you become disconnected from the Lord, and so much so that you don't even understand that the Lord has rejected and removed himself from you because of your rebellious ways, because you wanted to be seen instead of surrendering. Saul assumed a state of victory because of how he appeared to himself and to others. But because of this, he chose the wrong posture. He was a failure to God. I want to help somebody on this morning. Don't operate in such a way where you're pleasing to people and a failure to God, where you're accepted by people and rejected by God, where you're uplifted by people and pushed away by God. Don't steal God's glory by assuming victory in your own eyes. Don't try and rob God's glory just because he allowed you to share in it, or because he allows you to share in his works. Saul got beside himself, and he let the voices of the people push him to a place he was not supposed to be in. Not only that, he allowed his flesh to cause him to be in a place he was never supposed to be in. Some of us have operated in things or operated in ways that caused us to be outside of alignment with the will of God. He was supposed to be waiting in Gilgal for the prophet to come and to perform his priestly duties, but instead he was in Carmel building a monument for himself. In this season, don't get caught being in the wrong place, doing the wrong things to appease yourself so much that when God comes looking for you, he has to find you in a place where you're out of alignment with his will. He was never supposed to be in Carmel. Don't allow your desires to pull you out of your destined place. I'm going to say that again for somebody.
Say it again.
Don't get tripped up and what God allowed you to do to the point you get led away from your destined place. Some of us have missed the workings and the movings of the Lord in our destined place with the appointed people, because we went to places that we deemed were better or more necessary for what we wanted to do instead of doing what God told us to do. The fact that God chooses you to do his work doesn't give you the authority to change up the way you operate. It doesn't give you the authority to move in your own will. It doesn't give you the authority to move because of illegitimate conversations. I'm going to get there. It says, Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. He said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little, in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over all Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the Amalekites, the sinners, and fight against them until they are consumed, until they are gone. So until there are no remnant of them still on this earth. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And here's why I said don't have illegitimate conversations, because you can't allow people's opinions or actions be the cause of you forfeiting God's blessings over your life. Let me say it again for somebody. Don't allow people's opinions or actions to be the cause of you forfeiting God's blessing for your life. We cannot afford to operate in what seems to be right instead of what is out, instead of operating in what's righteous. When God confronts you with your sin, don't point blame, but take accountability. Here it is. Samuel said, what is this bleeding that I hear? How come you saying you did what God told you to do, but I see some of the good sheep, the good oxen, I see some of these people still existing. Why is the king still alive? And so I was like, because the people spared the best. But I didn't give the instruction to the people. I gave it to you. Holy Ghost. God is saying, why is your child over there doing stuff they ain't got no business doing? Did you not tell them what I said? And they're like, God, but you know, kids have their own mind. They do it the way they want to do it. But God is like, did I not tell you what I wanted you to do in your house? How I wanted you to lead? Some of us in marriages are pointing blames like Adam did to Eve, saying, God, the woman you gave me or the man you gave me. And God is like, uh-uh, I'm not taking that for an answer, because I gave you the instruction. And if I told you to do a particular thing, it wasn't for you to kowtow down to anybody else and decide, I'm not going to do it because what they think or what they feel or what they said, I gave it to you. There was somebody right now under the sound of my voice that has been having conversations with God, and God has been looking for you in the desert place. But because somebody said something to you and you kowtow to what they said instead of what God said, you put the blame on them instead of taking accountability for the fact that you didn't follow the instruction. Stop having illegitimate conversations. Watch this. With connected individuals who are not authorized to guide you. The people are legitimately connected to Saul. He is their king, and they are his subjects. But they were not authorized to tell him what to do. Some of us listen to connected people that don't really have the authorization. Nobody has the authorization to override what you've been told to do by God. It don't matter who they are. And I know some people will find this to be contradictory. Even if you're married, if God gave you an instruction and maybe your spouse hasn't understood or embraced it, God is not going to say, okay, I relinquish your responsibility to do what I said because your wife don't understand it. He ain't going to do that. Because if he gave it to you as the head, you still got to do it, whether you're the husband or the wife. But I don't know why God has me saying this, whether you're in a relationship, whether you're married, whether you're a parent, whatever the connection is. Whether you are the one that's been given the, so if you're the one that's been given the instruction, help me to say it how I hear it, God. If you have been the one that was given the instruction, stop given the connection to the individual in your life permission to cause you not to do what God has said. Likewise, if you are the person in connection with the one that God is leading in this moment or for this time, don't become a warring, nagging, unbelieving individual, so much so where you spoil or you sow negative words against what the Lord is saying. You may not understand it, but ask God to give you the ability to follow the instructions that they say God has given them. Now, it was just them. If it's just their feelings, you are not obligated to follow that. But if they are following after the word and the voice of the Lord, you got to walk in a way that even if I don't understand it, even if it don't make sense, I'm going to trust in the God and the Holy Spirit that is in them as they follow Christ, to follow them and ask the Lord to help you learn what it is to walk in agreement and alignment with the one that you are connected to. But hear me clearly, whoever it is that got the instruction, you don't get to negate the instruction because it takes too much work. You don't get to negate the destruction because of the warfare that comes with it. You don't get to negate the instructions because people think you crazy. You don't get to negate the instruction because you feel like you'd rather do the things of your flesh than the things of the word. You don't get to negate the instruction because of any conversation. You don't get to negate the instruction because the enemy is pulling at your mind or pulling at your heart. You don't get to negate the instruction because you'd rather just sit and wait on God to move. God said, I gave you the instruction. You got to follow it. You got to move in it. You got to be in agreement. You got to be in alignment. Put all those other things out of your mind and your head and do what God said to do. God used the prophet Samuel to give Saul the instruction. And Saul said, but the people. And some of us have been consistently pointing blame at the people. God, I want to walk closer with you, but the people. God, I'm trying to follow your voice. God, I want to walk closer, but the people. We have, help me God, we have embraced the negative culture of church hurt to the point where we use it or we try to use it as a valid excuse or reason not to do the work of God. I don't want to go to church because last time I went to church, Sister So-and-So, who cares what Sister So-and-So said? What did God tell you? I want to go and I want to pray, but so-and-so said that I'm not educated. Now, who cares about what so-and-so said? What did God tell you to do? God, I want to move and operate in things of God, but some of your children get on my nerve. We get on God's nerve. What in the world does that have to do with you following instructions? God, I want to do what you call me to do, but I can't get over how I used to be and what I even. What does that have to do with you following instructions? Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? I'm asking us that this morning. Why have you not obeyed the voice of the Lord? Why have you not stepped out on faith and do the thing that God called you to do? Why are you still running from the fight when God, when you know full well God has ordained you to be the curse breaker in your family, and you still sitting there twiddling your thumbs asking God, well, how am I? Why are you not obeying the voice of the Lord? Why are you not reading his word to a better degree? Why do you not pray to him constantly? Why are you having illegitimate conversations with the enemy? Why are you having illegitimate conversations with people? Why are you not standing and right and declaring the word word of God? Why are you not opening your mouth and prophesying what the Lord has given unto you? Why are you not laying your hands on the sick so that they can get healing? Why are you not operating in every gift, talent, ability that God has called you to do? Why do you keep relinquishing that business that God told you to do? Why are you not walking in your calling? Why are you not following the instructions? Why do you care more about what they say than more than what God says? Why do you care about what other people think? Why do you keep putting your inadequacies and insecurities in front of God as if he didn't know you had them before he called you? Why are you not obeying the instructions? Just because you don't have the resources doesn't give you the right to not walk in the instructions. Just because you don't have the support doesn't mean you can't walk in the instructions. Just because people may not believe in what God has called you to do, it doesn't give you right to not follow the instructions. Just because you don't understand everything that he said doesn't mean that you don't have the ability or the accountability to walk in the instructions. Just because other people may say you should do it this way, but God told you to do it a different way, it doesn't mean you get to not follow the instructions. Why have you not obeyed the voice of the Lord? Not only that, you didn't obey, but you're still doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Why do you think that God is supposed to just bless whatever you do because you put his name on it? Can I help somebody? God is not obligated to bless anything he did not give us authorization to do. That is a lie of tradition. That is a lie of misunderstanding of God's holy text. Now, while there are and have been instances of God still blessing messes we created, he's not obligated to do so. I'm gonna leave it alone, God. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Isn't that something? How often do we do that? No, full and well, God said, do A. And we hooked off and did B. And then when we confronted, but I did it? No, you didn't. Well, I may not have did it fully, but you know, it still worked out though. When you don't do it fully, it ain't really work out. We gotta stop operating in this falsehood that makes us think, as long as I got it done, even though I didn't follow instructions, that is still pleasing. Well, the people don't know I didn't follow everything, God, because you talked to me in private, but I presented to them something I thought was pleasing, and God was like, well, it might have been pleasing to them, but it ain't pleasing to me. Do you think that God cares that you followed it halfway? He don't. Do you think that God cares that people applaud and call your name and happy with the end result when he don't care? God is just not concerned about the end result, but the whole process. You are not getting nothing over on God by providing something to him. That's not what he called you to do. That ain't pleasing to God. That don't impress God. Some of us are so caught up in impressing the people that we're irritating God. And we can't even tell the difference. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. This is what disobedience will do. Disobedience will change your perspective and surrender from the one that you originally gave allegiance to give allegiance to yourself. If you go back and read the text, when Saul was originally and initially anointed king, he declared that Samuel's God was his God and that now I will serve He is now our God, Samuel, just not yours. But now, because he got a little victory and a little prestige to his name, all of a sudden, it's not our God, it's your God. Be careful that you don't walk in ways and do things that causes you to denounce the very presence of God in your life, and that causes you to be out of relationship with God. Not only did he lose the anointing of God, but he fell out of fellowship with God, and it was because of his own doing. So Samuel said, has the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in vain and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Church, we can't afford to give what we think is customary while failing to operate in what's required. We cannot afford to give what we think is customary while failing to operate in what's required. Here's why I say that. In that day and time, it was customary for the king and the army that had the victory to take the spoils of the ones they defeated. That was the custom. The custom was, we'll keep all of the good for ourselves, whether it was the women, whether it was the money, the gold, the oxen, whatever they had in possession that was good and healthy, the king that won had the authority to seize everything. So it was customary. But what was required was that he kill everything. God wanted to utterly obliterate the people who were coming against him and his people called the Amalekites. King Ahab, he wanted them wiped out. But Paul allowed the people to talk him into doing what was customary. And some of us in this sanctuary, in our line, y'all too, operate in things that's customary and not what's required by God. It's customary. Make you sleep holy. It's customary that if we go together longer than 90 days, can you give me what, you know, I'm trying to be, because
the gift that keep on giving, amen,
is the gift that's going to destroy you, because it's customary by the world standards.
Right.
What?
After a certain period of time, since you my lady and I'm your God, since we are walking to that, it's customary.
Not the customary.
It's customary that I, since I paid out all this money and bought you lobster and some good wine, I don't know them all, but you know y'all do. Some of us do not. I ain't gonna lie. I know Stella. I don't know nothing about Stella. So that good stuff that y'all pay $190 for at the restaurant, whatever that's called, it's customary since I flew you out to Miami, that you put out a little something. But what's required is not to perform fornication in the presence of the Lord when you are not legally or spiritually married to an individual. What's customary can't override what's required. It is customary in our land that although I may carry the anointing of God or the call of God, it's customary that if I feel like my spouse is not fulfilling all of my needs, I can have a little something, something to the left and or the right of me. But what's required is that the husband or the wife of one household be committed and not commit adultery against the one that God has allowed them to do. It is customary that I can sleep, sin, and do whatever I want to do in the presence of God and still come into God's house and play his instruments like my hands ain't dirty. It's customary. But what is required is that we live holy and righteous before the Lord so that we don't take the praise and the worship of the Lord with dirty hands and heart. It is customary that if I don't agree with how you live, that I can just let you do whatever you want. But what is required is that we share the gospel of God so that the heart and minds of men and women will be changed. It is customary that if I don't like what you did to me, I don't gotta serve you, love you, or talk to you. But what's required is that you forgive your brother 70 times 7. That means although they may do it again, you are still required to love them. You are still required to serve them. You are or your identification if you don't feel like what God assigned you to at birth is what you really feel like. But it is required for you to live the life that God ordained and get it in your mother's womb. Don't get caught up because the world says this is the custom and you forget to uphold what's required. Just because it's customary,
my Lord,
don't mean it's righteous. Just because it's comfortable, don't mean it's holy. Matter of fact, most of the stuff we do that's comfortable ain't holy. Because it's not comfortable to live holy. Because the holiness of God consistently contradicts the lustings of your flesh. So you should be at ease, or you should be uncomfortable as you grow, because God will cause you to. God isn't concerned about superficial sacrifices that outweigh the necessity of our obedience. And look at the irony of his prideful ignorance. He had prideful ignorance because he boldly proclaimed to Prophet Samuel, I did what he told me to do. Because he said, look at his response to Samuel's questions on why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I went on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back. God didn't tell you to bring him back. God told you to kill him. But how many of us act like Saul? God, I cut the relationship. I only call him ever so. You didn't kill it. God, I don't smoke weed as much as I used to smoke weed. I only roll it up every once in a while. I don't consume the alcohol and all this other stuff that I used to, but the way that I used to, just when I'm having a little dinner with my boo, you didn't kill it. God, I don't cuss them out all the time like I used to, but you do it when it's convenient to you. You didn't kill it. I told you to kill the ways of the world that you used to operate in. But you still employ the ways we think is beneficial to you when you don't understand that you are still representing the presence and the power of God. So when you dip and dabble in the things that I told you to kill because you kept it alive, you are negating the power and authority that I've given you to represent me perfectly in this land and to destroy the tactics of the enemy. I hear you, Holy Spirit. Some of us have the power of the enemy actually defeating us in some things, not because he has the power, but simply because you didn't kill it and kill him. And kill his tactics and kill his suggestions and kill his lies the way that God told you to. Some of us are defeated because we haven't killed the desires of our mind or our flesh, because we feel like every so now and again, I gotta go back to those ways and to those people. And God, if I burn this bridge all together, they may not talk to me the next time. So what? God said, kill it. Said, you think God care about your little, my grandmother used to say, penny any sacrifices, you think? First of all, your sacrifices aren't acceptable because you weren't supposed to sacrifice it in the first place. Let's look at the text. Saul offered the sacrifice, but it was Samuel's responsibility. And Saul got so besides himself, he thought that God would accept something God never asked him for. And that's what we do. I ain't gonna give this up, but I'll get that up. God, I asked you for that. You can't substitute what you feel like surrendering instead of operating in the obedience that God required of you. There's danger and presenting to God, there is danger presenting to God what you feel like God will accept instead of what God desired to accept. He felt like, well, because he did the sacrifice and that was the custom of the day for sacrifices to be given, that God would still honor the sacrifice. But what God wanted to do was for Saul to honor him by being obedient. Don't operate in prideful ignorance to the point where you're not following the instructions and you're presenting what you desire and thinking God is obligated to accept it, because he is not. But here he is as I get ready to take my seat. Because we always stop there. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than, and it is. But we never talk about the full danger of being disobedient. So again, don't offer to God what is customary. Give him what's required. Be fully obedient. But here's the danger and the downfall when you are disobedient. It says in 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, if I had a mirror, stubbornness, because we all got some ways that we are stubborn in the Lord, y'all, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Why? Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Disobedience is very costly. Disobeying God is equivalent to rebelling against God, which brings about judgment. Partial disobedience to God is equivalent to rebelling against God, which brings about judgment. Inconsistent obedience to God is equivalent to rebelling against God, which brings about judgment. Discontented disobedience to God, meaning you do it, but you don't do it with a cheerful heart or gratefulness for the fact that God chose you, having illness in your, or having a harsh disposition in your heart about doing the things of God, is equivalent to rebelling against God, which brings about judgment. Dragging your feet or slothful obedience to God is equivalent to rebelling against God, which brings about judgment. Rebellion is the Hebrew word marai. It means it's a willful disobedience. And back then, it was as serious as the sin, or the capital sin of divination. Divination was witchcraft. Those who operated in paganistic ways, with paganistic gods, performing rituals and spells and casting things to try and perform miracles, much like they did when Moses, you know, took his staff and made the pool or the water red, and then Pharaoh had his mystics and the people that were performing divination come and do certain things. It's witchcraft. And I was like, okay, God, but why you had me include 23? And if you like me, if you notice anything on Facebook, or you hear different things on YouTube, we see the rise of witchcraft and false prophets and teachers in the land.
Yes, we do.
And there are so many people that rightfully talk against those operating in witchcraft and demonic divination. And we are supposed to stand against them. But But you can't stand against what God has likened you to when you're disobedient. Just because you may not operate in divination, if you are disobedient, God sees you as the same.
Sure does.
I'm gonna let that rest right there. Because we'll call out the obvious falsehoods and heretics. We'll call out obvious people who operate in witchcraft and mystics and spells. And let me help you. Ain't no such thing as a Christian witch. Y'all cut that out. Stop it. Stop it. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But let me help you. If you ain't following the instructions of the Lord, you and them, us and them, our brother and sister, according to God, in the works that we're doing. So stop trying to call out what you see in them and not be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to call out what he's seeing in you. If you are disobedient, you are just like the diviners. And it ain't to matter. It's right here in the Word. He said, but you are willfully disobedient. That is the same as operating in witchcraft. That's why when we get to the New Testament, we'll see Jesus say, there will be some that come to the Bema Seat or come to the throne of God. And God will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I know you not. And they will say, but didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I heal in your name? Didn't I perform miracles in your name? But if you are walking in disobedience, that work that you're doing is null and void to the Lord. God doesn't want the performance of your hand when he don't have the posture of your heart. God does not desire the works of your hand when he doesn't have the posture of your heart. And when you rebel, and we often think that rebellion against God is always this outwork or this outer working that's seen by everybody else. But that is not always rebellion. Because you can do it externally and not mean it internally. You're still disobedient to God. So God doesn't care about your performance. What's the posture of your heart?
Right. That's
He also says, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Let your church say, ouch, it ain't. Because whether you're in that season now, or you have been, or you're about to be,
right.
If the truth of the matter will be told, some of us are stubborn when it comes to God and the instructions that he has given.
Amen.
Go and pray for that person and stab you in the back. Now I ain't talking about y'all, I'm talking about my own self. I want you to go and pray for that person that stabbed you in your back and made your world turn upside down. I am absolutely not fit to do that, Jesus.
Lord.
God was like, you not? Nope.
Nope.
Oh, man, I was like, the Father, and I was deep in prayer. Father, I know you gave me, I was like, Jesus, but now, Father, let this cup pass from me, because I don't want to talk to that child, God, because I still feel like on sight in my spirit, and if I see her, I might punch her in her face. And God was like, but I told you to go pray for her.
I know that's right.
I was like, I don't want to do it. And then God was like, oh, so you want to rebel against what I told you to do? But God, you don't understand. No, I knew it before she did it, but I still pointed you to want to go back and bring her out of that pit. Bro, I wanted to bring her out the pit. I'm about to fill this hole with some more dirt. What you talking about? Pull her out. Let her stay in there. And God was like, did I leave you in your pit?
Right.
When you face the consequences of your sins and actions, did I come and throw more dirt on you? when you didn't do what I told you to do, or you willfully did everything I told you not to do, did I leave you in despair?
No.
Did I call somebody else to come pull you out?
Yes.
So how dare you tell me I can't use you to pull somebody else out? I don't care what she did to you. It's what I'm trying to do in her to go get her out. But in that moment, my stubbornness was like idolatry and iniquity to God. Meaning that no matter what else I did in worship or service to the God, to God, everything that I did in that season was counted as nothing. Can I help somebody? Until you fully are obedient to the word of God, everything you do and touch will be nothing to God. We compartmentalize, well, I might not do this all the way, but I did this, so God should still be pleased. No, he's not going to still be pleased, because it's still iniquity. If you are stubborn and giving God all the reasons why you can't and shouldn't and don't want to, and like, well, God, because you know, well, why I got to be the one to do it? Well, I did it last time. Why I got to help heal them again? Why I got to speak another word to them again? Why I got to do this? Why? God don't care about all your whys. He said, do what I told you to do. And when you are stubborn, you are willfully choosing to ignore God and uphold yourself. We make ourselves, help me, Holy Spirit, we make ourselves idols in the presence of God when we rather do what we feel like doing instead of following the instructions of God. And then we wonder why everything we try to do folds under any type of pressure, because you have idolized yourself by choosing to operate in the ways of your flesh instead of the ways of God. You have made yourself an idol, and because God doesn't allow any idol to exist in his presence, he begins to strike down some things in your own life, and everything starts to crumble, and you're like, God, I don't understand. I did A, B, I skipped C, I did D and E, but isn't all of the rest of it enough? God is like, nah, if you're not going to follow me fully, you can't follow me partially and think that I'm pleased with what you're doing. Either do it all or don't do it at all. So when you rebel, when you don't follow instructions, you are rebelling. And when you rebel, you are rejecting God. And here's what's worse. When you reject God, he does reject you. We take the scripture and we misapply it to our lives. God will never leave me nor forsake me. That's if you're obedient.
Right.
There's a contingency.
Right.
If you're not upholding the righteousness of God, he don't leave you. He might anoint you in this season, but if you continue to outrightly be obedient in every other season, God has the right and he will reject you. Now, we thank God that there is a season when we repent, he welcomes us back. But there are times when we are operating in the things of God and have been rejected and don't even know it. Because here's the text. God didn't wait till Samuel told Saul he was rejected. God rejected him previously, and he had no revelation until the prophet opened his mouth. So he was still being king, but he was already rejected. Some of us are operating in things, and because of our disobedience, God has already rejected, but he hasn't removed us from position, but he ain't really with us.
Ooh, my God.
And you're like, I don't feel, and I don't hear God. He rejected you. Well, God, why can't I hear your voice? Because when you heard it, you chose not to do what I said. We don't like to talk about that truth. God, I know that you are with me. Now I'm here. That don't mean I'm with you. God is omnipresent. So he's always here. And he's always near. That don't mean he's with you. Because if you rejected him, And if you have ignored his instructions, he will withdraw himself from you. Just because you know the word or you have revelation doesn't mean you are still in right standing with God. Saul still had the rights and authority of king, but he did not have access to God anymore. He did not have the approval of God anymore. And I just really wanted to encourage. I know it might felt like a little sting, but it's still an encouraging word, because I don't want to see anybody fall to the dangers of disobedience because you feel like, well, the rest of them are doing it, so we should all be able to know. If God, so what God said in his word is the principles that we walk by. We don't walk by the customs of this world. We walk by, hallelujah, the created principles in God's word. We have to be willing to stand and follow the instructions of the Lord, regardless to what we feel like we may lose in the natural. I'd rather lose every natural connection, every natural resource, every natural relationship than have God reject me. I'd rather have people reject me than God reject me. I'd rather have people say, I can't walk with you no more because you're always trying to do the right thing. I'd rather them walk away than God move away. And I want somebody to hear me clearly. Follow the instructions exactly how God has given it to you. You may not understand it. You may not like it. People may not be in agreement, but don't you fall away to anything or anybody else other than what God has said to you. Your flesh may even rise up and begin to question the instructions because it makes you uncomfortable. Talk to yourself in the positive light of God's word and declare over yourself, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it costs me. And the natural, I'm going to follow the instruction of the world. I don't care what people's expectations of me are. I don't care what the world said is customary. I'm going to do what God the Father has called me to do. I'm going to speak it, say it, walk in it exactly how God told me to do. Whatever instruction God gave me for the upbuilding of the kingdom or for the change in my life or the life of my family, I'm going to follow instruction. If God say fast more, pray more, seek more, do the instruction of the Lord. If God say cut it off, cut it off. If God say end the relationship, end the relationship. If God say stop walking in that thing, stop walking in it. If God says denounce the lies and attacks of the enemy, you got to stand and declare the word of God over your life and follow the instruction exactly the way God gave it to you. Don't try to impart part of you and part of God. Follow God completely. Don't delegitimize what God is doing because you want to do it your way. The minute you try to do it your way instead of God's way, you will forfeit everything that God had tied to your obedience. This is the season that we got to walk in full obedience to God so we don't forfeit another thing that God has for us, so we don't forfeit the destined places that God has for us, so we don't forfeit the divine connections that God has for us. Be obedient to the word of God. Be obedient to the instructions. Be obedient to the instructions. I don't care how many times you want to ask for clarity. When you get the clarity, be obedient.